Hi, I'm Kathy Forstig, music director at KC Cafe Radio. Today I'm chatting with Americana roots singer-songwriter Mick Byrd. Mick is an old friend of KC Cafe Radio. We've been lucky enough to play music from his previous 7 albums for the past 7 years here on KC Cafe Radio. On Mick's 8th album, Roots and Ozark Blues, he's back with a brand new band, the Back Road Band, and playing and singing his best hand-clapping, foot-stopping music to come out of the heartland. Thanks, Mick, for joining us today on KC Cafe Radio.
Oh, you're very welcome, Kathy. Good morning to you. Good morning to everybody else.
We're so glad that you're on KC Cafe Radio, and you're like one of those artists we've had, I think, pretty much from the very beginning. So we're pleased you're with us.
Well, thank you very much. I tell you, I and lots of other independent musicians really appreciate what the station has done for us and helping us to expand our music base and get people a chance to hear music that they may not hear on commercial radio. And I can tell you that KC Cafe has been very, very instrumental in helping us expand our opportunities, and Debbie and I really appreciate it.
I want to start off asking you about the new CD, Roots and Ozark Blues. You have a new band, the Back Road Band. Tell me about the new CD and why you decided to form a new band for this CD.
Well, as things go in the music business, life changes, people come and people go, and I've had the opportunity for a little over a year to be playing real steadily with Joe Dunlap, an outstanding lead blues guitar player, Ray Spiller on drums, and they're both local. They both live here in our town of Vienna, and that means that we have easy access to each other, and that forms our core group. From time to time, for larger things, we add other people. Gary Dirk does some gigs with us on bass guitar. He's featured very prominently on the new CD. The other folks were primarily studio folks. Shannon Hushaw from Rolla did a great job on the female lead vocals and harmony vocals. And unfortunately, Shannon has moved out of state down to Hot Springs, Arkansas, so she's no longer able to gig with us, but she sure did a fine job on the recording, and I'm certain that people will enjoy what she added to our music. Pete Skolka, our studio engineer and producer, sits in on some honky-tonk piano and B3 organ, a little bit of guitar, great musician, and on the blues tunes, he can really play that honky-tonk piano. I'm sure people will enjoy what Pete added. Steve Carraway on blues harmonica, played on Roots and Ozark Blues, and also Paula Parker on fiddle. And there's a kind of a special story I'd like to share with people about Paula. For many years, Paula's dad, Rick Stokes, was maybe the preeminent fiddler in our area of central Missouri. And wherever we played, Rick always knew somebody, and somebody always knew him. Unfortunately, a couple years ago at Christmas, he had a sudden aneurysm and passed away. And we have a dedication to Rick in the new CD. We really miss him. He was a wonderful person to do gigs with, Kathy. He was always ready to play, always had a big smile on his face. He was 75 when he was called home, and he had a wonderful life. He played music constantly, everywhere, with everybody, all styles, all genres, and it was always fun. We wanted to have Paula on our CD as a kind of a memorial to Rick, and she did a really nice fiddle arrangement to one of the tunes, Sweetest Lies. Mm-hmm. Also, the final cut on the CD, Walk and Stick, Rick Stokes also has a role in that. When we went to see his girlfriend, Donna, after he passed, she showed us a bunch of walking sticks that she had that belonged to Rick that were in the garage. Whenever he took his grandchildren walking in the woods, he always took a walking stick with him. Mm-hmm. And that's where the song Walking Stick comes from on Roots and Ozark Blues. It's mm-hmm. a song about the relationship in between a grandparent and a grandchild. Also, that was an extra cut. Debbie, my wife and CEO of Time Out Records, who really runs the operation, as you well know, the deal was we were going to cut 11 songs in the studio. If we had extra time, she got to pick song number 12, and that was her pick. And I'm glad from the response we've gotten so far. I'm really glad that she picked that song.
Yeah, that's a great song. I like that one a lot as
Thank
well.
You.
This is your 8th CD. What makes this one different from your past CDs?
I believe of all the CDs, probably the Around CD released in 2011 and Roots and Ozark Blues are more indicative of the band sound that we have these days, Kathy. Lots and lots of up-tempo blues and rock in the southern country, that sort of genre influenced. Most of the earlier CDs were more acoustic in origin, more introspective, a little more subdued. These last two CDs, including Roots and Ozark Blues, pretty raucous. They're pretty fun. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned to you previously when we were just chatting, I really have two almost completely separate music ventures. One of them is the band thing, and the Backroad Band and I are busy as heck and really enjoying it. And, you know, for the crowds at clubs and fairs and festivals, we do the up-tempo blues and the southern country and rock and things of that nature. We only do all original music. Mm-hmm. The other folks in the band, they write their own accompaniment. That's their creative part. They're wonderful, wonderful musicians, and I'm very pleased to have them. And then I also do a good bit of traveling as a solo artist where I do more of the thoughtful, introspective things, the acoustic things. Still a lot of blues involved in that, but, you know, a whole lot less production, a whole lot less volume, and mm-hmm. but more intimate setting. I did a swing through Texas in March. That was really, really fun, mm-hmm. Kathy. My wife Debbie and I went to Austin, and I played in Austin, played in Houston, played in Dallas, and folks' backyards and living rooms and things like that, and it was really, really fun. I've got an invitation to go to Wisconsin that we're going to work in as soon as we can, and if listeners, if they enjoy what they hear on KC Cafe, have them give me a call. It's 573-422-3881, or they can email me at mail@mickbyrd, M-I-M-A-I-L, at mickbyrd.com. Mm-hmm. And I would be, if we can get there and work out a string of places to play, we'd be happy to go. Primarily in the spring and summer is when mm-hmm. we do most of our traveling.
Yeah, and we have a couple of shows planned with you ourselves. You're going to be here in Lee's Summit on, I think it's June the 6th, I think, at Gusto's Cafe. And
yes,
then you're correct. Also going to be playing at the Fringe Fest in Kansas City in July as well. So
on July the 25th, the gig at Gusto's is from 5 to 7, and that'll be a solo acoustic. And as you say, the band and I are playing at the Fringe Festival on Saturday, July the 25th at 6 o'clock, and we certainly appreciate that invitation.
Mm-hmm.
Then next month on the first Saturday of August, I'll be doing another solo acoustic show at Caribou Coffee in Lee's Summit from 6:30 to 7:30. And we'd like a little bit better presence in the Kansas City market and get up that way a little bit more. We're about 4 hours away, so, you know, it can't be every weekend. But
right.
The shows we've had up there have been well attended and fun, and we're looking forward to doing more.
Yeah, we're always glad to have you come up this way. So when you said you were in Texas for a couple of months ago, did you go by South by Southwest? Was that part of your tour?
Yes, it was, Kathy. That was the first invitation that I had to play in Austin, and I played at a private showcase run by Handshake Management out of Austin, Texas, and I was surprised about how eclectic and multicultural the music was, and you know when you have a whole bunch of people in one spot who are there to enjoy music and enjoy each other. It's just a wonderful, wonderful vibe. And if I can work it out to have another swing, I'd certainly like to go down to Texas again. I can tell you it's a very large state. I mean, mm-hmm. in between gigs, there's a lot of driving for sure.
Right.
But the Austin scene was great. And one of the things that Debbie and I both like to do a lot is listen to live music. I'm playing so darn much that I don't get the opportunity to do that as much as we'd like. And while we were in Austin, not only did I get to play, but I got to listen to a whole lot of other musicians from all over the country of various styles and genres. And it was great fun. That Austin was, and it was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They rope off downtown and it's just wall to wall people and mass hysteria. And it's all fun. It was,
yeah.
It was a really good scene.
Yeah. So how does that compare to playing at the Bluebird in Nashville?
You know, it's almost exactly the opposite, Kathy. By the way, that's a very good question. I've been doing the Sunday night songwriter show at the Bluebird for a good number of years now. The songwriter there is, it's beyond respect. It's almost revered. And it's the only place that I've ever played where the entire room is dead quiet. I mean 100% dead quiet while you're playing. Mm-hmm. And it's really sort of an odd atmosphere. If you're not careful, it almost feels sometimes like you're being evaluated rather than enjoyed. Mm-hmm. And I don't like that part of it. But the respect part is sure nice. There's not conversation and people banging glasses and plates. The Bluebird is all about the song. It's all about the vehicle, at least to me, at the stage of my career I am. And Austin was a much more raucous, lively, fun sort of atmosphere. I will say something for the Bluebird as well. There's a wide variety of music that goes through Nashville these days. It's not at all just 100% pop country or traditional country or country of any kind. You know, Nashville is a great music city, and there are wonderful, wonderful people there involved in all aspects of the music industry. I found Nashville to be a very friendly city. Debbie and I have enjoyed our time there, but the experience of playing at the Bluebird is something that I know I'll always cherish, but it can be a little daunting.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you're in the middle of the music mecca capital of the world, and everybody is dead dog quiet, and the crowd is really, really attentive to primarily the song as well as the performer. And they're both cool, but very different.
Yeah, and they really appreciate the songwriter there, which is, I think, the thing that I like about Nashville. And the other thing is that there's music everywhere in Nashville. It's not just like at certain venues. Like I remember I don't know if it's still like this, but I was there, I used to go there about 15 years ago quite a bit. And I remember going into a church's fried chicken and there was somebody playing in the corner, you know, for tips. And it's like, you know, it's like, where would you find that in any place else but Nashville, you know, somebody.
Sure. And, you know, there's just people are willing to make the career choice of they're going to Nashville and they're going to make it in some aspect of the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's such a glut of really talented, I mean, good people, just great people in all avenues of the industry that, you know, you have to survive. So you wait tables and you tend bar and you cut grass and you lay bricks.
Right.
You work at Wally World and you do whatever you have to do to try to support your music habit. And it's not just that there's, you know, 100 of those people. There's thousands of those people. And the host of the show that I play at has mentioned for a long time that it would be very beneficial, Kathy, for Debbie and I to move to Nashville because of the contacts that are available to people who are actually in that kind of vibrant hub. And that's not something we're ever interested in.
Yeah.
Our lives out here in the Ozarks are very fun. I don't know that Debbie would say it's peaceful, but to me it's peaceful. And I'd like to move up the musical food chain as far as my talent and ability and work ethic will take me. And if today is as far as I get, then that'll be okay. It's been a good ride, and we really enjoy what we do. And We're not interested in relocating for any kind of business or music reason.
Right. Yeah, you need to stay grounded anyway.
Well, it's nice to have a life. You know,
yeah.
I mean, after the show is over with, where do you go?
Right.
You know, what do you do? And although we enjoy our music travels, and I think it's, I don't know, 14 states or something like that, or maybe a handful more. I've played in Ireland, which was a tremendous trip. We always enjoy it, but it's nice to have home to go back to.
Right.
And, you know, then you have to cut your grass and you have to weed the garden and, you know, you take care of the grandkids and things of that nature and go to a ball game. And that's part of who we are as well.
Right. Yeah. And you, you're a retired school teacher and coach, and that must have been a big change for you to give all that up and do music full time.
Well, it would have been a really big change if I just went cold turkey, but I've always stayed as a coach of at least one sport, and next year I'm going to coach two again. I'm going to coach girls softball and girls basketball. And my final decision on that, Kathy, was, you know, you have one life here, unless, as Richie Fagan says, unless the Hindus are right, you have one life here, so why not spend it doing everything that you love? And mm-hmm. those are a couple things that I love. And the people at school are very accommodating as much as they can be about my music business and my music job. And I think that we can adequately address the needs of all three of those. It does mean that most of our traveling is going to be spring and summer, although we have selected weekends where we can go out of state at other times of year. But I really enjoy, it's almost like I have two lives. If I didn't do anything at school, I'd really miss kids. Vienna is a very small little community. Everybody's family here, whether you want to be or not. And I enjoy that. But I also enjoy playing in Austin and playing in Nashville and playing in Kansas City and playing in St. Louis and playing out of state. And music is a gift, and I think it's a gift that is most enjoyed when shared.
Yeah. So are your students aware of your musical side? Do they know that you do this?
Oh, I think probably to a very minimal amount. I think, yeah, crazy old Coach Bird plays guitar, you know, whatever. that's about it.
They don't know that you've been to Nashville and played at South by Southwest? And
oh, I doubt it. Yeah, it's not something that is in the frame of reference. If they read the paper, they know, or if, they go to our music website. But I don't think most of them are probably interested in that. You know, that's not who I am to them, and that's okay.
Yeah. Well, I think that's kind of cool that you have a sort of a dual life there that you can fulfill both of those.
Well, yeah. You have to make once in a while concessions both ways. But both of my other band members are also school people. Joe Dunlap, my lead guitar player, is our school superintendent, and you'd never know it by the way he plays guitar. I just think that he's a fine player. And Ray Spiller, my drummer, is the band director here at school. So, you know, normally we can juggle our schedules to fit in gigs, particularly if they're local. When we're all available, we all go down to the school band room to practice, and it's kind of neat. And I think having music as a release might make me more effective for what I do at school. Mm-hmm. And I think being grounded in a school environment makes me appreciate the music side of things probably more as well.
Yeah, that's great. You've kind of developed this Ozark blues style. How would you define Ozark blues as in maybe comparison to like Memphis blues or any other kind of the blues genres out there?
Well, you know, I don't, when you start talking about labels or genres, Kathy, very often I think they're more limiting than they are in enlightening. I kind of hear what we do in the band, in the Backroad band, as a fusion of down home country blues with an old 12 bar twist. Songwriting topics are probably a little more, maybe a little more practically based, maybe would be a place to put it. We're all a product of the music that we've heard. And the great rock and roll that's come down the pike in my lifetime has been almost all primarily blues based. And I love the old classic rock tunes with all the blues riffs. And I think, to me, Ozark blues is a synthesis of all those different kinds of blues and blues rock and Southern country influences kind of piled into this mishmash of we do what we think sounds good to us as opposed to where does it fit within these boundaries.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of people think of the Ozarks as sort of a hillbilly kind of, washboard, kind of music, and I think you kind of brought in a little bit of a rock feel to it.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, there is that element. I mean, we live probably in one of the huge bluegrass capital sections of the world, and there's a great deal of bluegrass and gospel and traditional country, and you know, we're all good with that music. There's value in all music, I would think, Kathy. You know, and a lot of the value depends upon the ears and attitudes of the listeners, and I certainly wouldn't think that enjoyment has to be mutually exclusive. But yeah, what we do is a lot more rock and roll, southern rock, country based, not traditional in any way, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's a great sound, and I think you're developing really a sound with this band that maybe you didn't have with previous bands.
No, I think a lot of the, you know, you become, when people sit down in a room and you start to play, everybody is influenced, at least if the band is functioning the way we all think one ought to happen. And boy, that's something I really had to learn to play in a group of musicians, is you really have to learn to listen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, every instrument, every vocal expresses something, and how to put all of this into some synthesis or some package that is the best that you can possibly convey that song. Ray and Joe are very, very accomplished musicians. And secondly, we have sort of a neat little process for when we sit down to play a song, is where do we want it to go? You know, mm-hmm. and how are you going to get to that spot? We have been, knock on wood, very, very well received in live performances. I think primarily because what we do is fun. You know, mm-hmm. it's a fun package, and you know, I do intersperse a few love songs and thoughtful ballads in an evening as well. But primarily, what we do is up tempo and pretty gregarious, and I think it's a hoot.
Yeah, it's great. And I want to talk about the new CD with some of those songs that you're kind of mentioning there. One of my favorite songs on the CD is Stoplight. Tell me about Stoplight and then how you wrote that song.
Well, I'm pleased that you picked that song, Kathy. That's it. You're not alone in the radio world. We've had a good number of folks so far have given that airplay, and you know, we're very appreciative of radio stations all over the place who are willing to play independent music. And Debbie just told me this morning got a couple more internet downloads from we've had one in I think Ireland today, one in Cleveland, Ohio. Yesterday was the Netherlands and someplace in South Carolina. We've just got word this morning that Revis Rock Blues has been picked up on a network with over 700 international radio stations, and it's receiving airplay right now at those 700 stations. And gosh, that's really helpful. Mm-hmm. And this is a long, drawn-out way for me to get back to your question, which was, okay, how about Stoplight? I almost always write music first, and I'll start with a guitar, my old HJ28 Martin that's like 1,000 years old now that I love dearly, and a quiet room, and I'll just piddle till I come up with normally a riff or a lick that I think is cool, particularly if it contains a musical melody line, and then wherever that musical riff or lick takes me thought-wise is where I go to write a song. And obviously, living in a little place like Vienna, population 628, when everybody's home, and most nights everybody is home, I'm aware of what a town with one stoplight is like, because we have one stoplight down at the corner of 63 and 42. And the song is about the grandeur, I think, of relationships, and how, you know, a small town girl and a small town boy fall in love and have an idyllic life. That's Romeo and Juliet. You know, that's where he is here. And people in little towns have great worth. You know, we're all part of this big sea of humanity, and everybody's story is a great story. And it talks about, in very practical terms, how the relationship started, kind of a lucky break where the girl's car breaks down at the only stoplight in town, and proceeds from there to, you know, family life and kids and a beautiful life, and kind of the way it ought to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a nice song. So are the characters in your songs, are they real life people, or are these people that you kind of make up?
You know, there's not very, very much that is 100% straight factual in what I write, unless it's an emotion-based song, like a love song. I hope that's really 100% factual. I think it is. And, you know, that is. Other than that, songs are, they're a 2.5 or a 3-minute snippet of life. And many of the characters are composites and amalgamations of people that I've known. Some of them are 100% people that I've known, names being changed to protect the innocent or the not so innocent.
Yeah.
But I don't have a rule, Kathy. I mean, if the song conveys an emotion or a thought or a circumstance that people find enjoyable or maybe even a little bit enlightening, that's where the song needs to go. The song is a vehicle, you know. And if you go to the Indianapolis 500 in a Volkswagen, you're probably not going to be very successful. And that's something I really like about the Nashville scene. It's all about the song.
Right.
Like it's all about how good is the vehicle. You know, how concise is the vehicle? How meaningful is the vehicle that you've asked people to ride in for the next 3 minutes? And I think that's a cool perspective.
Yeah. And how do you decide what you're going to write about? I mean, is it...
Oh, my goodness. I have no idea. I mean, I you know, we all talk about the muse, and when the muse sets on your shoulders, I don't like... And this is just me. Lots of people have all kinds of different methods, but I don't want songwriting to be math.
Mm.
I don't want to say, okay, from 10:30... to 11:45 every morning, I'm going to sit down with a pen in my hand and I'm going to write a song. Now, a lot of folks have really bought into that concept, and they think that since writing is a craft, the more you do it, the better you get at it,
mm-hmm.
and you probably ought to write a song a day. You know, and I admire their work ethic, but that's sort of, I don't really feel like bludgeoning myself into a spasm of creativity, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
When I feel like writing a song, I write a song. And I tend to write in bursts of productivity. And I think a lot of the best songs in my mind that I've written up to this point, I hope the best ones are yet to come. We all do. But the best songs that I've written normally come very quickly. And, if you have to work at writing a song, I don't know that you really feel strongly enough about what you're trying to convey. And, you know, you could talk to 100 different songwriters and 99 of them would tell you probably maybe just the opposite of what I said. But I try to do what works for me.
Mm-hmm.
And if nothing is coming, I put the pen down and, you know, go pick tomatoes. and on a different day, then something will be in your head. You know, if the world's a wonderfully, wonderfully interesting and exciting place.
Mm-hmm.
If you just pay attention to what's around you, there's a song on every corner.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you don't, I mean, your songs don't sound forced. You know, it doesn't sound like, oh, I got to write something, so I'm going to make up something, you know. It sounds like your songs come straight from the heart, and I think that really comes through in when you listen to a Mick Bird song.
Well, thank you very much, Kathy. That's really high praise. We really pride ourselves on not having what we would consider to be filler cuts on an album. You know, well, we need a country song, so let's write one here the next. You know, and that's really not what we do, and we work very hard at choosing the body of songs that we think best brings out the album in totality. And, you know, we don't say, well, we need this many up-tempo blues songs or this many country songs or that many ballads. We try to put on the disc the songs that we think fit the best together. Things like song order, you know, are really, really important from a business standpoint. That's why we chose to lead off this new CD, Roots of Ozark Blues, with Honky Tonkin', because it's one of our most requested songs at our shows. And it's really sort of indicative of the fun craziness that, that we do live.
Yeah, I was going to mention that song. That's another one of my favorite songs on the CD. And we're playing it on KC Cafe Radio, and it's a good foot stomping, hand clapping tune that you guys came up with there. I love it.
Well, thanks. We do too.
I can see why that would be a crowd favorite. I wanted to ask you too, whenever you play one of your songs for an audience, what do you hope that they're taking away from hearing your music?
You know, I would say that probably the greatest joy for me is, I'll go back to a previous CD, the title cut to A Few Good Tunes. And the chorus of the song says, "It's not the fame that I don't have, nor the fortunes I've not made. It's just the smiles on people's faces and a few good tunes well played." Mm-hmm. And I think that's where I come from, Kathy. I mean, if you leave the listener feeling something, joy, happiness, enlightenment, curiosity, leave them with something that they can take home with them. Mm-hmm. And whatever that is, I think then that's, I've fulfilled my goal. And, you know, I think it's really important. A lot of writers, some writers, don't want to put a numerical value on it, write as almost a self-cleansing process.
Mm-hmm.
And there's things that they need out emotionally or psychologically, or, and that's, I mean, we all do that. I mean, there's things that we want to say, but primarily the music is played for the audience.
Right. One of my first
producers said, when I asked him a production question, that, well, if you're going to play this song for the boys down at the gas station sitting on a bucket, then play it however you want. But if you're playing this song for the mass of humanity, then you make decisions based upon what the mass of humanity is going to probably enjoy hearing the most.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's good advice. You know, I don't buy into necessarily the formula aspect of songwriting about, you know, AAB, this many lines, or verse, chorus, bridge, verse, chorus, bridge, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have to give people something reasonably close to what they expect, at least initially, in order for them to give your tunes a chance.
And, right.
You know, it's funny, Kathy, when we set and we play for brand new people, if there is a table of people who obviously really likes what you're doing, they can influence the entire crowd, because lots of people really don't know whether they're supposed to like you or not.
Right.
So they have to figure out whether it really is good based upon maybe what somebody else thinks. And I think that's just sort of human nature. And it's fun to go to a new venue and have a brand new crowd where the majority of folks don't know you, and to develop that relationship in between a musician or a band and the audience. That's a fun part of the music thing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's so much as I think that's what's wrong with radio, is terrestrial radio, I should say, is that they're telling people what they should like instead of letting people discover what they like and finding it on their own. Radio kind of shoves music down your throat and says, hey, this is the best new song out there. Listen to this. This is great, you know? And that's why, one of the reasons why we started KC Cafe Radio is because I want people to discover things on their own and like things on their own and not be told, this is good, you have to like this, you know?
Yeah, well, I would agree way over 100%. It's almost as if you create your own self-fulfilling prophecy, you know, by what is promoted on commercial radio, because it is on commercial radio. It has to be of great quality or it wouldn't be on commercial radio, and that's what people are exposed to. Personally, for me as well, you know, I really don't want to hear the same song 32 times a day, no matter how much I love the song.
Yeah, but, you know, exactly.
And you know, the independent radio is an avenue through which folks like me, who are not nationally or internationally known, have an avenue to get music out there to folks who might possibly just really enjoy the heck out of it. And that's really what it's about.
I think. Yeah. Find those independent thinkers out there.
Sure. Make up our own mind.
Yeah, exactly. So what's your favorite song from the new CD?
Oh, what a horrible question. That's like saying, who's your favorite child? Golly. Kathy, that's a tough one. Let's see. If I had to choose one that I personally like the best, I think from a songwriting standpoint, probably Princess.
Yeah.
And that's a song that I wrote because in the stuff that I do here in our little town at school, there's you know, all kinds of little princesses, and most of them drive pickup trucks, as the song says. So that's pretty straightforward. I like that from a songwriting standpoint. From a music standpoint, I really, really like Waiting for You. It's sort of a dark bluesy rocker. I really like Stoplight. I think it's got a very, very neat up-tempo country groove. And probably from the just raucous fun of it, Honky Tonkin', a little bit of whiskey. From a personal standpoint also, because I am now a new grandfather, Walking Stick is also one of my favorites. But, you know, that's like, it really is like asking which child do you like the best. I like them all. It wouldn't be there.
Yeah, and some children you like better on some days than others, too, right?
That's true. Very true.
So another great honor that you have is that you are a performing artist for the Missouri Arts Council. How did you get that distinction?
Well, it's an application process that you send in music, and the folks on their evaluation committee decide that what you do and how you do it really does represent Missouri in a positive light, and they feel like there's somebody, that you are someone, and your music is something that they would like to share and help spread. And the Arts Council does provide some funding for venues and communities and schools and colleges and things who might not be able to afford to have music in their facility, and they can make that happen. It's an honor and it's a blessing, and we're very thankful for that, and also very proud of it. You know, it's kind of you are where you came from, at least to me. And boy, I'm a Vienna boy, born and raised, and I'm going to croak here as well. And where I come from is exactly who I am.
Yeah. And do you play like libraries and things with those shows?
I have not yet. I would certainly do that if that was available. You know, one of the things that is changing about the music industry, Kathy, you just mentioned about, you know, Nashville and music in every corner and things of this nature. Music doesn't have to be in a traditional music venue.
Right.
You know, music can be a spur of the moment anywhere. And as I mentioned to you, we're certainly tickled about the house concert and lawn concert sort of thing. It's really neat for the musician to really feel like they know their audience, and the audience to really know the musician and the source of the songs and where they come from, and be able to have the time to tell a little, you know, 30-second story about the song, so that the listener can really understand where that song emanates from. That's really cool. And, you know, that's been around a while, but I really see it growing in popularity. Libraries, schools, parks, kitchens, restaurants, backyards, riverbanks, you know, pavilions, gazebos. Yeah. And music can be anywhere.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing I like about like a house concert is that it's a very intimate experience. It's not like hundreds of people that you're trying to connect with. There's maybe, you know, what, 20, 30 people in a room that you're having a real one-on-one kind of relationship with. And it's people who really want to listen and hear your music. And I think that's the beauty of a house concert and some of these smaller kind of shows.
Oh, yeah. I really agree with that wholeheartedly. And the host is going to invite people that they really feel like are going to be tuned into the experience and want to do that. I mean, I've never played at a house concert where people are sitting looking at their watch, wishing they were somewhere else.
Right.
And that's the case in a lot of restaurants or clubs or whatever. A good number of those people just happen to wander in there for no particular reason. And, you know, they're not really necessarily all 100% fired up about the experience. In a house concert, everybody's there because they want to be. And that's a neat thing.
So I want to ask you a couple more questions, and this is something I don't really think I know about you. How did you start playing music and getting into music? What was sort of the catalyst in your life that started you off in music?
Well, I would guess, to be honest, and this is really a corny story, when the Beatles appeared on Ed Sullivan in 1964 on Sunday night, that was a life-changing experience for me. That was about the neatest thing that I could possibly imagine, just that whole experience. And I was 7 at the time, and I talked my parents into buying me a little plastic toy guitar. My sister Vicky, who is a very accomplished pianist, tuned the guitar to a G chord, to where all I had to do was put my thumb all the way across a fret, and I could play a chord, and I beat those little plastic strings into oblivion. And in a few years, my folks bought me a real guitar, a small little guitar I could start on. And basically, I think maybe part of the style that I developed as a player is that I'm self-taught, and I don't really know how you're supposed to do certain things. So I do the things that sound good to my ear, mm-hmm. in tunes and style and things of that nature. And I think that gives me a little bit of individuality or dysfunctionality or whatever you want to call it. But from there, I played in a band in high school, played in a rock band in college called Jade, and we were reasonably successful back in the day. Then we graduated from college and everybody went their separate ways. I always wrote songs and played a little on the side, but nothing really major until about 20 years ago. I suffered a very, very serious knee injury, and that kind of put the end to my athletic pursuits as a big pastime. And I decided that instead of moping about not being able to play baseball or basketball for the rest of my life, maybe I'd pick up the guitar and get serious about playing. Mm-hmm. And I convinced my wife, Debbie, that I wanted to record an album and see if anybody would buy it.
Uh-huh.
And so on a hope and a prayer, we recorded the first album, No Frills, and one of the songs on that album won a songwriting award from Billboard magazine, and that really helped me feel like, well, maybe what I'm doing does have a market. And for the past 20 years, we've been after it.
Yeah.
And I really want to mention to everybody out there who has been supportive of my music venture over the years, whether it's coming to shows or buying CDs or a positive email or the word of mouth thing for a musician is more important than any publicity that I can buy in a newspaper or a station. Kathy, when folks really enjoy what you do and they spread the word to their friends and their neighbors and their family and they play your music and they bring them to shows, that really keeps us all doing what we do.
Yeah, that's great. And I want to let people know where they can find you. They can find you at www.mickbyrd.com. And
yes.
Is there any other place they can find your CDs other than the CD Baby?
Sure. There's CD Baby, iTunes. You can go to Reverb Nation. I've got an account on Reverb Nation. Probably the best and most current source about daily stuff with my music is on Facebook at Mick Bird Music, not just Mick Bird on Facebook, because there's lots of Mick Birds, but Mick Bird, M-I-C-K-B-Y-R-D Music on Facebook. And that's the thing, you know, I'm not going to complain about being busy. It's nice to be busy, but wow, Kathy, we're really busy with the music stuff, and it's really hard to keep updating every site on a mm-hmm. daily basis. So we try to update the Facebook page at Mick Bird Music every day or every day or two with what's going on in the near future. And, you know, again, I want to say a sincere thank you to everybody in the KC area and all over who have supported our music. And again, another big shout out to KC Cafe. What you guys enable independent musicians to do is really a wonderful thing. And Debbie and I and Joe and Ray and the other folks in the band, we're very appreciative of that.
Yeah, and we're appreciative of you letting us play your music as well. So it makes the station sound better. So yeah, check out Mick Bird on Facebook for any of the new things going on with him and touring and stuff, and then check out his website as well. And if you want to purchase his music, you can go to CD Baby or iTunes and listen to him on Reverb Nation. I think Reverb Nation has a download site as well, right?
Yes, they do.
So you can go there too and download things. But I'm a physical copy kind of person, so I usually get things on CD Baby. So
yeah.
Thanks again, Mick, for talking to us. And the name of the new CD is Roots and Ozark Blues, Mick Bird and the Back Road Band. So make sure you check that out. It's a great new CD. Every single cut is worth a listen, and you'll become a fan instantly, I guarantee it. And you'll want to go see one of his live shows as well, so check that out as well. So thank you, Mick, and we'll be seeing you soon.
Thank you, Kathy. Bye-bye.